The darkness returned to me. An old, toxic friend that I wanted nothing more to do with, but wouldn't let me go until it dragged me into the abyss with it. It was hard to know if I was dead or not. Considering my mind still wavered, I doubted I was. This wasn't the same place I had been after watching the king kill himself. No, this was more akin to what had happened after the militia quarters explosion. So I was alive, but barely. I found the warmth I had relied on so many times before, a beacon in the darkness. There were days I wondered how I could take this much abuse and still get up again. Was it because my mind could push past the pain better than most, or were my nullification fabrications somehow responsible? I didn't know for certain. I might have figured out broad strokes of what my nullification fabrications were capable of, but I didn't understand the specifics. That would have to change soon. Maybe Dark could help me. But as always, there were more pressing concerns now. Like, where was I? And how was I still alive? I had lost a lot of blood before passing. Wait, I knew what to do. I opened my eyes. Pain came first as I sat up on the raised wooden board I was lying on. My shirt was off, and a sticky green leafy poultice covered my wound. It reeked like it was decomposing. My shirt had been turned into bandages to keep it in place. The room I was in was windowless, cramped, and seemed wetter than it ought to be. I wasn't in Kingman Keep, that was for sure. This was a makeshift prison cell. So who was my jailer? I scooted backwards so I could lean against the wall. This was the second time in less than a year I had woken up shirtless in bed without remembering what had happened. It was becoming a habit. At least I hadn't nearly drowned in the river again. Small victories. The door to my cell opened. A girl with extremely long black hair was standing in the doorway. She was missing part of her right ear.
Can you move?
Where am I? And who do you work for?
Big Brother said not to answer any of your questions.
That answered both of them. Big Brother had taken over and improved the Rainbow District. And now they had saved me, too.
Do you have a spare shirt? Mine seems to have been repurposed.
The little girl looked up at the ceiling.
Big Brother says we ain't a charity for little king boys, and I forgot the rest. Sorry.
At least she was polite. Hopefully that king boy nickname wouldn't stick. What an embarrassment. Realizing I wasn't going to get any more out of her, I followed her into the corridor, walking slower than someone with a broken leg, carefully keeping pressure on my wound. The hallway was lined with children of all ages sitting on the floor, playing with mismatched decks of cards and broken toys. As I passed, they all glanced up at me, and then returned to whatever they were doing before. None of them feared me. In a city where I was known as a monster, that was unusual. My guide brought me to a bright little kitchen with a table and two chairs, lit by a concentrated ball of light in the center of the table. I didn't know that was possible to do, but Big Brother had clearly figured it out. I wasn't too surprised. Trey had always been testing the limits of his fabrications, even when I warned him not to. Trey hadn't changed much since I had seen him last. His black hair had grown slightly longer, and he was wearing an old scales uniform with the jacket unbuttoned to show off the butts of four flintlock pistols strapped to his chest. There were thick-lensed goggles around his neck, more commonly used by fabricators who fought fires in the city than teenage deviants, but it was obvious, even in how he positioned himself at the table, legs crossed, fingers drumming against the table, that he had grown more confident. A man who had his eyes set on change, with a fire in them that would never go out.
You're awake.
Trey signaled for my guide to leave.
That's good, I was worried.
I took a seat at the table next to Trey.
How'd you find me?
My siblings came running to tell me that a kingman and three ravens were fighting in the student quarter. Hard not to come see what was going on. Imagine my surprise when I found you passed out in a pool of your own blood.
And you saved me.
And I saved you. You probably want to know why.
A little. You made it clear that I chose my path, and you chose yours, and that we were headed in opposite directions. I never thought we had to be enemies, but you... You saved me because I was fighting the Ravens, didn't you? Enemy of your enemy is your friend, and all that nonsense?
The only people I hate more are the rebels.
He reached under the table and put a bottle of rum and two cups on the table. He uncorked it and then poured a sizable amount into each glass.
Cheers.
Cheers.
The first taste always burned. Some things were eternal.
Big brother, eh?
I hate it. After the graveyard, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was alone, angry, and lost. I missed Jamal. I even missed you. Thought I would try to do some good. Gathered orphan children on the east side and gave them places to live where they didn't have to worry about skull-branded assholes, tweakers, dimmers, or any other abusers. Anyone who tried got a late-night visitor.
So, why are residents of the Rainbow District saying you've taken it over? Where have the tweakers and dimmers gone?
Michael, since when do you visit the Rainbow District?
I was looking for a friend.
What friend do you have? Oh.
We drank to ease the silence. What happened to all the tweakers?
The Berry Field, the Tweaker Keep, the Starless Observatory. They're in their dens, out of sight. The only reason they ever left them was because they ran out of their drugs. I've simply dealt with that problem for them.
Seriously? You're supplying them with blackberries? The amount you would need to keep them content is ridiculous. You'd have to know the supplier, and why would you...
Trey wouldn't meet my eyes. You know the supplier, don't you?
I've known who's been making blackberries for years. Even knew how. Turns out when you have nothing to lose, you can make offers that are incredibly hard to turn down. In that business, exposure isn't a good thing.
So you're going to let them keep filling your district with drugs? After what they did to your...
They're on my list to deal with. But the tweakers aren't the biggest threat to me right now. And don't mention her to me again.
Tell me your plan if you're so confident in it.
No. You may be fighting with the Ravens, but when you convince the princess the king killed himself, and you will, you'll return to her side and become much, much more dangerous than you are now. Then you'll be a problem. Then I'll have to destroy you. So I'm not sharing anything. I'm sorry.
You're acting like I'm a noble. That I want to be part of that world again. I don't.
Says the man who's currently the heir to the Kingman family, whose mother is doing everything in her power to restore her family to their once prestigious position.
How'd you hear about what happened at Ryder Keep already?
It's nearly dawn. Everyone knows. You're the talk of the city.
Which meant an unpleasant conversation with my mother and sister was incoming whenever I returned home. Disappearing all night after making a deal with the princess for my life was only going to make them worry more. Until they saw me. Then they would just be angry at my moonstruck tendencies.
What are you, then? Clearly you don't want to work with the nobility, and especially not the rebels after what they did. Are you just going to form a third faction?
Yes. Let the nobility and the rebels fight over the throne and ignore the east side as they always do. Whoever takes it will find me leading all the citizens. Change will find its way to Hollow, whether those in charge like it or not.
With what army? With who backing you?
Leave that to me. As much as I enjoy this conversation, we're done here. There's nothing more to discuss.
I'm always here for you if you need to talk. My mother says you're always invited to dinner.
Your mother is too nice. I doubt she even remembers me. But that time you introduced me to her, when you weren't looking, she told me how happy she was to meet her son's best friend, since it meant that he wasn't alone in the world like she feared. At the time, I simply nodded, unable to express how it felt to be called someone's best friend. It made me realize I had someone more than just Jamal for the first time in my life.
Trey stared at the wall behind me.
I never thought she would recover, but to hear she has is...
None of us really thought she would.
Except you never stopped trying to save her.
I said nothing, unable to come up with anything that wouldn't make him feel guilty about what he had done.
Are we good people, Michael?
I don't know. I hope we are.
One day we'll find out.
Trey was silent and took the ball of light on the table into his hands. He held it carefully, tenderly, as if it were a child that he feared hurting.
That woman, the one who was shot by the corrupt prince, have you seen her recently?
No, I haven't been able to find her. Why?
Just curious.
Have you had any luck finding your father yet?
I stared into my empty cup. wondering if I should have another drink before leaving.
No, I don't even know where to start looking. He left nothing behind for me to follow, and it seems only Shadum knows the answer.
I motioned for Trey to fill my glass. I wouldn't advise asking him. The answer won't come cheap.
I'm not going to. I'll find out who my father is on my own. Somehow.
Smart choice. I gulped down whatever was in my cup. I'd need the liquid courage for the conversation that was coming. So, where's the exit?
The children will escort you out of here and leave you close enough to Kingman Keep that you'll be able to get back there safely. The ravens have given up the hunt and retreated to the castle anyway. There's no danger.
Don't want me to know where your hideout is? Trey smashed the ball of light in his hands, plunging the area into darkness. I wouldn't have been able to see my hand if it was in front of my face.
Not in the slightest. Give your family my best, Michael. They'll need it.
After a slow walk back to Kingman Keep, doing my best not to aggravate the wound in my side, I entered through the servants' entrance and made my way to the Great Hall. Everyone was eating breakfast at the table, except for Leon and Olivier, and turned their heads toward me when I entered the room. What's for breakfast? Gwen gave me a hug, but pulled back when she noticed the dried blood on my bandages.
Where were you all night? I expected you back by midnight, not this dawn crap. What happened?
I took a seat at the table. Olivier, wherever he had come from, put a spoon and a bowl of porridge of some kind in front of me. The archivist had already taken out the needed instruments to record what I was going to say. How long before I tired of his endlessly recording of my life? Soon. Much sooner than I had expected. Serena was ready for me. She'd chosen ravens, knowing my fabrication specialization. I should
have... Which ravens? And what were their fabrication specialties?
Simon, now is not...
Gwen, the recorder might have other interests, but it's good we all know the answers to his questions. Unless everyone at this table knows what fabrication specialty every raven has, because I don't.
My sister opened her mouth to respond, but then didn't. Instead, she returned to her breakfast, shoveling whatever was in her bowl into her mouth. The ravens were Chloe Mason, Karen Ryder, and Rowan Kerr. They are lightning, wind, and smoke fabricators, respectively. I couldn't outrun them. They cornered me. I fought back and received this. I motioned to my wound and got away. But I was wounded. I passed out from blood loss somewhere in the student quarter. One of the ravens spared me. I forget which, but without their mercy, I wouldn't be here. Then a friend found me and saved me. Only woke up recently. Came straight here.
Father?
Olivier appeared next to me wearing black gloves. Kneeling at my side, he unraveled the bandage and inspected my wound. He poked around it.
It's already been taken care of. Very well, in fact. Gwen, do you want to look too?
Gwen did so. She ran her hands over my skin much more carefully.
Grandfather is correct. This has been professionally done. I don't think I could have done the stitches this uniform. But what is this?
She paused as she smelt the green mixture that had been put on it.
What is this? It smells like marigold and chilies, but I think whatever it is, it's helping repair the wound. It's already scabbed over and I can barely see the initial cut.
Take a sample of the mixture and get fresh bandages for Michael. And a clean shirt.
Olivier scraped some of the mixture off me with the edge of a knife and then disappeared.
So who was this friend with extensive medical knowledge that saved you? Was it Dome?
No, it wasn't Dome. I haven't had any contact with him in a long time. Trey saved me. I have no idea how he did this, though. None of them said anything. Not even Gwen. They thought that I was lying. That I had broken my promise to Leon about not making another deal with Dome. They all knew what had happened during the endless waltz. I had told each of the family members individually about it. To think that they were still holding it against me instead of moving forward? I haven't talked to Dome in months. I haven't seen him in months. Trust me, I want nothing to do with him, and he wants nothing to do with me.
You disappeared the night you became the heir to the Kingman family, Michael. Dome hasn't been seen in Hollow Court since the trial. We know he has an interest in you, and we know he's planning something.
So you assumed we were together?
Yes. We need to talk, Michael. Last night, you became the heir to the Kingman family, as well as a mercenary.
You want me to abdicate too, don't you? My mother's eyes answered my question. I wouldn't be a Kingman anymore.
There's a chance of that.
I couldn't hear what she said next. The words never registered, despite the fact her mouth kept moving. Gwen ran her hand up and down my arm. This was my nightmare. I was about to lose everything, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. I simply had to accept my fate. I couldn't run.
Michael.
It wasn't God intervening to save me. It was Dark, a monster in human form, the last person anyone wanted to see coming toward them. But as he strode into the great hall dressed all in black, with a hatchet in his left hand and a revolver in his right, Dark was the only hope I had.
Michael, with me. There was another murder last night. It was another refugee with no heart. We're going to go find out how credible your theory is.
What?
Olivier returned from the kitchen.
Where?
Little Iham. Scales is already at the scene. Check it out yourself if you want to. Come on, Michael. There's work to be done.
Dark told me the gist of what had happened last night as we made our way to meet High Noble Moflin Bravin, who was walking the battlements. One of Orbis Company's informants in Scales had tipped Dark and Imani off when they discovered a similar murder scene like yesterday's. Dark had checked it out and discovered a picturesque replica. The only difference was the words painted above the body. The forest is plentiful. Not wanting this to get worse, Dark had, oddly, decided to find out if I had been right. If High Noble Moflim had hired a waylayer to start this, we were going to end it. Orbis Company didn't want a waylayer operating in Hollow, and I didn't want more refugees to get murdered. A win-win situation for all of us, assuming High Noble Moflim was truly behind it. High Noble Moflim spent every morning on the battlements, blessing the brave soldiers who were the first line of defense against the rebellion. It was a largely useless gesture, but it was done to convince the commoners that High Noble Moflim was a friendly, down-to-earth man. Even though he spent every night gambling away more than they would make in a lifetime and eating the richest foods imaginable, his morning rounds were the only time of the day he wasn't surrounded by an army of house guards. A small honor guard with him instead. It was our best opportunity to get answers.
Can you fight with that wound?
We started to climb the ladder to reach the battlements.
Not well. Just doing this hurts enough.
Why did I bring you then?
I don't know. Why did you?
Because it'll make the fanatic freak fearful. You've already killed a king in his eyes. How's he to know you aren't there for him?
We are here for him. Is there something you're not telling me? You seem off.
Shut it.
Dark swung his legs over onto the battlements.
Stay behind me and don't get in my way.
Yes, master. Whatever you say, master.
Dark ignored me. Do you have a plan?
Get the information we need out of the fanatic freak, however necessary.
We entered an area of the battlements that was wider than the rest of them. Three or four could pass instead of two. A group of soldiers were lined up along the barriers, kneeling and waiting for High Noble Moflim to bless them. The pious noble was walking back and forth with a bowl of ashes in his hand, dressed in his black robes with a flame trim. High Noble Moflim sprinkled ashes over one before continuing. There were three guards near him, frightening looking in a normal situation, but compared to Dark, they were mice before a lion.
Morning, boys.
Everyone turned to us, drawing their weapons, and High Noble Moflim looked like he was going to piss himself. Judging by the sudden sharp smell, he may have.
Let's get right to business. I want to talk to High Noble Moflim. Alone. Anyone who's still here after a count of five will experience the full extent of my wrath. If you're lucky, I'll shoot you and not throw you over the barricade to fall to your death. Any questions? I'm Dark, by the way. A mercenary of Orbis Company. The Black Death. You know who I am, so you know why you don't want to be here.
The defenders of the wall scattered like flies. Only High Noble Moflim and his three guards remained. Dark was enjoying this too much. A cat playing with its toy.
Should I bother counting? Or is honor going to compel you to lay down your lives for that fool?
Kill him!
High Noble Moflim backed away from us.
Whoever kills him will be promoted.
Dark holstered his revolver.
3-on-1 isn't enough for me to use my gun. Don't be imbeciles.
They were. All three rushed Dark at the same time. A solid plan for anyone else, not for Dark. With his hand pointed toward them, Dark shot ice out of his palms. Sharp and long and deadly shards of it. An icicle hit one of them in the heart. Another was hit in the knee, and he followed the other one to the ground. The third wasn't hit by ice, avoiding the shards at the last minute. Instead, the guard slipped on his comrade's body, lost his balance, and then went over the side of the battlement. Then there was nothing, not even a crash.
I always feel for the people that don't listen to my warnings.
Dark approached High Noble Mofflam. During Dark's surgical destruction of all the guards, High Noble Mofflam had fallen and tried to crawl away from us. It hadn't worked. Dark picked him up by the collar, slammed him against the low battlement wall, and held him there so half his body hung over the edge. Like a dog, I followed quietly.
Let me go! I'm a High Noble and an igniter in the Church of the Eternal Flame! Do you know what I'm capable of?
Michael, does High Noble Bravin's family control any of the provincial armies? I forget.
No, law prevents the Bravin family from overseeing one of the provincial armies due to their close ties to the Church of the Eternal Flame. The four that do are the Solarin, Morales, Hyann, and Castellan families.
Ah, so I'd only have to do with the Church of the Eternal Flame if my fingers...
Dark let High Noble Mofflam slip a little more off the edge.
What do you want? Let me go and I'll give it to you.
Refugees are being murdered. Two so far. Are you responsible?
What? No!
Are you sure?
Dark pushed High Noble Mofflam further over the edge. Dark was holding onto his legs to keep him from falling. Everything else was over the edge and his robes had fallen, covering his face and exposing his bare ass.
I'm sure! I was going to order you two to do it. I didn't hire anyone, I swear to God. I swear on my faith, my church.
I don't believe you. The murderer of the two refugees follows a pattern of killing that was used years ago. Coincidentally, also to kill enemies of yours. Rather lucky for you, isn't it? That your problems would go away like that?
It wasn't me. I have not been able to organize any killings yet. It's been barely 2 days since you broke off our agreement, and I haven't had the chance to find someone else to do what I want. It's difficult to find discreet, immoral killers in Hollow.
What about the original murders? Your father, Eternal Sister Laurel, Merchant Rayo, and Evie Dexter?
Dark hadn't mentioned those to me before. And there was a pattern? Why was this only coming up now? For two people who were supposed to be working together, you really did enjoy keeping secrets from me while insisting I told him everything.
I had nothing to do with their deaths. You really think I would order the death of my own father? What kind of heartless monster?
I know he didn't approve of your mistresses and was considering disowning you. Killing him first would preserve your position in Hollow. And the others? Well, what's a few more murders once you've given up your humanity?
Please don't do this. Spare me.
Dark, I think he's telling the truth.
And what makes you say that?
What does he get from lying to us now? All that would guarantee is that you drop him.
Mercy, please.
If he was behind these murders, he'd be smart enough to realize he could trade us the identity of the killer for his life. It's not him. And pushing him further might give the Bravin family a reason to side with the rebels over there. They may not be in charge of the Eastern Provincial Army, they'd still be a pain in the ass to deal with.
The Kingman is right. I would tell you if I knew. And there is no honor in dying like this. Falling to my death in robes I've pissed myself in. Not even being purged in fire could restore peace to my soul.
Dark glared at me.
And what if you're wrong? If more people die and this asshole hired the killer, you know their deaths are on you.
I'm a Kingman, and now the heir to the family. All my life, I've carried the weight of living up to my ancestors' legacy, to be a fraction of the people they were. What's a few more people relying on me when a whole city waits for me to save it?
So melodramatic.
Dark hesitated for a few heartbeats before pulling High Noble Mofflam up. Dark made sure to bash the noble hard against the wall as he did, but he was alive and standing on the battlement soon enough. High Noble Mofflam straightened out his robes.
Thank you for saving my life, Kingman. know that I would not say those words if I did not mean them. Especially after all you have done to this country I love so much.
Don't thank me.
So be it.
He turned to Dark.
Mercenary, I had nothing to do with those deaths. Truthfully, they are one of the few things I wish I could have prevented. As you can imagine, I make few mistakes and...
He stopped, staring at Dark with wide eyes, perhaps seeing the monster in front of him for the first time.
It's you. Davis. Davis the Black Death. How didn't I recognize you sooner?
Don't say another word.
Or what? You'll kill me? How many times did you threaten that years ago? No wonder you want to know about those deaths. You always blamed my family for what happened. But it wasn't us. It never was. If there are similar deaths now, then the Heartbreaker serial killer has returned, and I hope they come for you. Like they should have all those years ago. I hope they take everything you love.
Enough.
It was your fault. You're responsible for their deaths. Brooks, Evie, and even your beloved Zara. It should have been you. You killed them all in your endless pursuit of power and revenge. What a fool Zara was to love a man as selfish as...
High Noble Mothlam never finished his sentence. Dark grabbed him by his robes and threw him over the edge before I understood what was happening. What was that? Why did you just do that? Dark, they could blame me for that and make it grounds for execution. Or should I call you Davis? High Noble Mothlam seemed to be pretty sure that was your real name. Dark pointed his revolver at me.
My name is Dark, and I killed a liar for his lies. Understand?
You just murdered an innocent man. Don't try to justify your actions.
I've killed better men and women for lesser reasons. He spoke nonsense, and I put him out of his self-inflicted misery.
I don't know, Dark. I stepped closer to him. His gun was touching me now. I'm pretty sure he said whoever this waylayer is who's killing the refugees, they have a personal connection to you. That they killed the person you loved. Likely the person who wore the ring you were so desperate to get back from me during the endless waltz. Zara, wasn't it?
Michael, if you say her name again, I will destroy everything you love until there's nothing left but memories.
We were interrupted by 4 dozen scales with crossbows and torches, and a man neither of us wanted to see. Angelo Shade. He looked much as I remembered, well-groomed, immaculate clothing, and 3 rings on his hand. Although there was a difference, he had more medals on his scales uniform. Angelo Shade had been promoted. I could only imagine what for.
Good morning, boys. Congratulations. You're both under arrest for the murder of High Noble Mothlam Bravin. If either of you move, my soldiers will shoot. I'd love to see you try to dodge all of them.
Dark wasn't stupid, and even he realized he couldn't avoid that many bolts aimed directly at him. A few were sure to hit, and it would only take one to the heart to make sure neither of us got up. We had no option but to drop our weapons and submit to Angelo. And because Angelo knew us so well, he took every precaution. Dark was gagged and blindfolded, and had his arms and legs shackled before any of the guards lowered their crossbows. They merely bound me with chains. I would have been insulted if I didn't know the difference in our strength. All 4 dozen soldiers escorted Dark through the city and into the upper quarter. Angelo Shade held my chains personally and smiled every time he made me stumble. He brought us both to the castle and held us outside of the throne room, waiting for an audience with either the princess or Ephyra.
What a glorious morning this has been so far.
All the guards were out of earshot, too focused on Dark to pay us any attention.
A high noble died, I've humiliated and arrested one son in front of dozens of my soldiers, and another son will have his head cut off before dusk. I don't know how the day could get any better.
Don't call me your son.
Oh, why not? I raised you for the past 10 years. Shame I could never get you to call me father. That would have been wonderful.
I'm going to enjoy destroying you.
Oh, always the comedian, Michael. How do you expect to get out of this predicament?
I wasn't responsible for High Noble Mothlam's death. Dark was. And last time I checked, It was legal for a mercenary to kill someone, given sufficient reason to.
I can't wait to hear this reason. The princess might even let you finish your sentence before ordering your execution. You know, it doesn't even need to go to trial. One mistake and you're done.
I wasn't worried. This was one situation I knew I could get out of. I had learned enough to justify High Noble Mothlam's death, even if I had been against it. But this opportunity to press my advantage over Angelo Shade was something I had no intention of squandering. Good thing we didn't make a mistake. Now, did Edward Nevers have justification for murdering your wife and your unborn child? I wonder how he avoided the axe. Care to enlighten me?
Just because you have a piece of the puzzle doesn't mean you see the entire picture.
I will in due time. You wanted a kingman to destroy this city, and now you have one coming for your head. Run and hide, Angelo. I'm coming for you.
The more you discover about me, the more you'll realize I'm the hero of this drawn-out story. My son is the villain. And once you learn what he's done, I imagine you'll decide to kill him yourself to end his reign of terror once and for all.
Desperation doesn't suit you, Angelo.
You're correct, but the truth does. When you learn it, you know where to find me. I'll even help you kill the whelp. It's only fitting I take him out of this world, having played my part in bringing him into it.
One of the castle guards opened the door to the throne room and ushered us inside. All 4 dozen soldiers and Dark went first, followed by me and Angelo. The throne room was as immaculate as it had been the last time I had been here, but instead of an imposter on the throne, the queen-in-waiting was. 2 ravens flanked her. Serena wore a regal purple dress, one befitting the woman who would lead Hollow for decades to come. Yet, there was no crown upon her head, and that seemed odd to me. Why would she wear it at the party, but not on the throne?
Commander Shade, why have you brought Michael Kingman and a mercenary to my throne room?
Your Majesty.
Angelo bowed quite formally.
It is my unfortunate duty to inform you that High Noble Mufflin Brothen was murdered. He was thrown from the battlements by these 2. I was too late to save him, but I was able to capture his killers. Knowing Michael Kingman is only 1 strike away from death, I thought—
Take the blindfold and gag off the mercenary.
Your Majesty, that is unwise. The mercenary is quite skilled with fabrications.
I'm aware, Commander Shade. If the mercenary tries anything, I will deal with him. Michael may nullify my fabrications, but even then they'd both be outnumbered and unarmed. We'll be fine.
Angelo motioned for his soldiers to do as the princess commanded. Once Dark was able to speak again, he spat in the nearest soldier's face. The princess gestured for them to leave the room. Now it was only her, 4 ravens, 2 mercenaries, and a bastard who needed to be shot.
Princess, do I need to explain why arresting 2 mercenaries was a mistake, or can we skip to the point where you apologize and let us go?
Why did you murder one of my high nobles?
We had reason to believe that High Noble Mothlam Braven hired a waylayer to murder the refugees that arrived in Hollow recently. We were interrogating him.
I can only assume he was behind it if you 2 killed him.
We were unable to obtain proof either way before he died.
How unfortunate. Did you discover anything that you can share with me?
I glanced at Dark out of the corner of my eye. We have the name of the killer.
And that is?
The Heartbreaker Serial Killer. Silence. Next to me, I could have sworn I heard Angelo Shade curse. The princess leaned forward.
Michael, if you're lying to me, I will kill you where you stand and welcome the consequences. Are you telling the truth? The Heartbreaker Serial Killer is in Hollow.
He is. Compare the artist renditions of the old crime scenes to those of the past 2 days. They're nearly identical.
The princess left her throne and walked down the stairs until she was within arm's length from me. Her ravens remained next to the throne, hands on their weapons.
You said High Noble Mothlam Braven may have hired a waylayer to kill the refugees. Does that mean the Heartbreaker Serial Killer is a waylayer?
No. The waylayer is after us. The Heartbreaker Serial Killer is after something else. If we were his target, he would have killed us already. Not making some of the refugees his first target.
That suggests both the Heartbreaker Serial Killer and a waylayer are operating in my city, without my knowledge!
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm telling you they are.
God damn it!
Everyone in the throne room fell to their knees, an invisible weight pressing all of us down. The chandeliers in the room buckled and swayed as every candle in the room went out. Before I could nullify my body, she stopped, and the invisible force disappeared. Serena pushed the strands of hair that had fallen loose back behind her ears. Her face was bright red.
My father was buried a month ago. I haven't had my coronation yet. And you're telling me I am dealing with the most notorious killer in Hollow history and a member of a professional league of assassins that many consider to be a myth?
Yes. Dark and I returned to our feet.
Why should I believe either of you?
Can you afford not to? The princess glowered at me.
No. Not with the rebellion going on as well. It seems I am forced to do something I do not care for.
She turned her back to me and returned to her throne.
Mercenary Dark, many claim Orbis Company is the best mercenary company in the world. Are you genuinely better than Regal Company?
Yes. One of us is worth 100 of them.
Bold claim.
A very bold claim. But one I may have to take advantage of. Let me be blunt. There are rumors that the rebels have tried to hire Regal Company to help them attack Hollow. I want to hire Orbis Company to stop them. As you can imagine, that's not looked upon very favorably in Hollow, after one company destroyed Verano during the Gunpowder War.
Let me guess. You want us to catch the Waylayer and Heartbreaker serial killer so you can justify hiring us to defend Hollow from Regal Company?
Yes.
Your Highness, I implore you not to do this. Do not hire these monsters. Let me attempt a contact with Regal Company discreetly. I have a long-standing contract with them. Their contract price will no doubt be high, but it would be better than catering to these inhumane assholes.
You may contact them so long as you keep Captain Ephira updated with your progress. But that doesn't solve the issue that the High Nobles would never let mercenaries aid us without a reason. Dark and Michael can give us that opportunity.
And if we die in the process, no sleep lost, correct?
Correct.
What are you willing to pay for this?
I am sure we can agree on a monetary sum for—
No, I'm not asking what you're going to pay Orbis Company. I want to know what you're going to give me for doing this. Orbis Company will either accept or reject this contract on my word. If you want it done, I want more than just money.
What do you want?
Dark ran his tongue over his upper lip like a feral animal.
I want the gun that killed your father and Davy Hollow.
Why?
I like owning things that have shaped history.
That had to be a lie. Dark had to have an ulterior motive for wanting the gun, but what it was, I had no idea.
Can you stop both killers before my coronation?
Easily.
The princess rubbed her left wrist. Chloe put her hand on the princess's shoulder.
Your Highness.
Serena put her own hand over Chloe's.
Sacrifices must be made for the greater good. You have a deal, mercenary. Bring me the heads of the Heartbreaker serial killer and the Waylayer, and I will give you the gun. Send someone from Orbis Company to negotiate payment.
As you wish, Your Highness. We should go. These killers won't catch themselves.
We turned away from the throne and departed, making sure to give Angelo a smile as we did. It really was the small victories that were the sweetest.
Michael, this doesn't change anything between us.
Not yet it doesn't. Remember, you owe me a meal. I like chicken, and you can bring Lucky if you want to.
Leave, Kingman.
Dark was, in the minds of many, the ideal representation of a mercenary. A monster disguised as a human who cared little about killing those in his way. Considering how often he used his fabrications without thought, he didn't care what memories were lost either, so long as he got what he wanted. He was the living nightmare that mothers warned their children to avoid. The other members of Orbis Company were polar opposites, goofy, without a serious bone in their bodies. Orbis Company had chosen to congregate at an old inn called the Lone Wolf in the Sword District. The outside was as unremarkable as the inside was, everything battered and wooden and chipped. Despite how unimpressive it looked, the sour-smelling bartender made it quite clear upon arrival that they had the absolute best steamed rice cakes in the city and a long-storied history of serving mercenary companies. There was even a plaque with indistinguishable print that was supposed to represent how the first mercenary company in history, Void Company, had been formed in this inn. Like all stories told by drunkards, I didn't believe anything he said without proof. Regardless of how insistent the moonstruck fool was, I was just trying to get a word in to ask for their names. It wasn't going well. A small, slender girl a few years younger than me, with short white hair and pale green eyes. A zillion. Unlike her unarmed compatriots, their weapons hanging on hooks nearby, she had two flintlock pistols strapped to her side and four more over her chest. She smelt like gunpowder and sulfur and citrus and seemed completely uninterested in me. Instead, she was focused on knitting a brightly colored scarf with a mismatched ball of yarn. Just her appearance raised a flurry of questions in my mind, but the other two mercenaries were wasting my time with drivel.
"And that's why I chose this tattoo."
The lanky mercenary showed me the underside of his right wrist. There was a tattoo depicting a man hanging from a tree by his foot. The lines were dark and heavy and perfectly straight.
"Why was I telling this story again?"
"I don't know. I only asked for your name."
"My name?"
He put his arm around me.
"Well, my name is another thing entirely. I can't simply tell you my name. That would ruin the entire ballad of lost love, heroic greatness, and endless adventure that gave it meaning. No, I must tell you the entire story. Now, where do I begin? At the true beginning? Somewhere in the middle and let you interpret it as you will? Or at the end, and then retrace my steps? You must understand that a story's beginning is more important than the ending, Michael."
What a mistake it had been to come here with Dark. I just wanted to know their names and who I would be spending the rest of my life working with.
"If you start that story again, I'm gonna get some beauty sleep instead."
"Understandable. You need it. Because you're ugly, Bjorn. And fat."
There was one name. Bjorn, the stocky mercenary, leaned toward his friend.
"Really, Haru, I'll have to remember that the next time you need someone to shave your entire body after you get a lice infestation."
And there was the second name.
"We said we would never talk about that again."
"That was before you called me fat and ugly."
I turned to the white-haired girl. "I'm Michael. Pleasure to meet you." She didn't stop knitting.
"Alexis."
"I have to know. Are they always like this?"
"No. Sometimes they're drunk."
"I thought they already were. Would you be able to answer a few questions for me about Orbis Company? Dark hasn't really told me anything yet. Says I'll learn in time. But I'd like to at least know something."
"Dark said you had questions. Said I could answer them at my discretion."
"Really?"
"Sadly."
Alexis stopped knitting.
"I'll give you the quick version. We were one of the first mercenary companies to form, but not the first. That's important. And we have the smallest number of mercenaries. Each of our members are experts in their chosen field. You will be expected to continue that tradition."
"Even them?"
"Bjorn and Haru Orbis, poison and weapons master, respectively."
"Seriously?"
"Bjorn knows every plant, fish, and animal that has poisonous qualities and how to extract them cleanly, so it has the most potency. Haru is the one who defeated Nox the Undefeated in single combat. Needless to say, the Theban Empire doesn't want that story to get out."
She pointed to the guns on her person.
"And I'm Orbis Company's gunmaster. I'm the best shot this side of the Ilir mountain range. If I can't make the shot, no one can."
It became quite clear to me why Dark had been so surprised that the Waylayer had attempted to shoot us from the top of the Colosseum. He knew the limitations of what a gun could do and knew what it meant for someone to surpass them. What are Dark and Imani?
"Imani Orbis is the second in command of Orbis Company. Before that, she was known as a spearmaster. She created the broken hilt style. You've likely heard of it."
I had. The broken hilt style of spear fighting was widely considered to be unstoppable once mastered. It had been created only a few generations ago, but it still changed how wars were fought on a large scale, even with gunpowder rising to prominence. What about Dark?
"Dark is Dark."
It didn't take a genius to see she wasn't going to give up anything about Dark, even if it was odd that she had told me about Imani. So how does this vote for my advancement happen? Dark hasn't told me much, besides that it'll occur once everyone is in Hollow.
It's a vote. Rather self-explanatory, I thought. If a member of Orbis Company thinks you're qualified, they'll vote for you. And if not, they won't.
How am I supposed to convince people to advance me if I haven't met them before?
Most will ask you questions about things they value in a fellow mercenary. Could be about anything. Our chef usually asks about your favorite dish, and so long as you have one he respects, he'll vote for you. Our historian asks questions that are nearly impossible, but she does it to see your reaction. There is one person who won't vote for you, no matter what you do.
How come?
You're a kingman from Hollow.
That mercenary must have been from New Dracon City. The hatred between our two countries wasn't one-sided. Can I count on your vote? Alexis stared at me as if I were the least interesting person in the world.
Are you a master in something? Have you done anything to impress me? Or anything I've asked you to do?
No.
Then why would I vote for you?
Why do you keep saying everyone's first name and then Orbis after, like it's their last name?
Because it is. Most of us give up our family's names once we join Orbis Company. Whatever circumstance drove us to join usually isn't worth remembering, so we don't. We embrace the family we chose instead of the ones we came from. I imagine you won't do the same.
Considering that I was going to have to abandon my family name so my sister could become the heir, I might as well become Michael Orbis, but it sounded unnatural, strange, like an unfinished story. Could I be someone other than Michael Kingman? Dark and Imani approached the table. Alexis stood quickly, hands perfectly straight at her sides and a slight flush on her face.
Dark, Imani, I was just going over the basic information about Orbis Company with Michael.
No need to be so stiff, Lex. Dark's informed me of the agreement you two made with the Hollow Princess. Even though our commander isn't here, I've decided to accept the contract, assuming the price is agreeable. Perhaps it will restore some of the goodwill we lost by welcoming you into the company.
Where is everyone anyway?
Otto is on his own in the low grounds. Everyone else is with Commander Tai and Goldano, except for Nona, who's with the archivists. They're all dealing with easy contracts. Whoever I take with me will help them finish up so we can have Michael's advancement vote.
I'd appreciate it if you could leave someone with me. Michael's fabrications are advantageous in some situations, but I could use some backup against a waylayer and whoever this heartbreaker serial killer is.
Imani leaned back in her seat, arms crossed, with a slight smile.
Never thought I would hear you asking for help, Dark.
Clearly the heartbreaker brings out the best in me.
Clearly. I'll leave you Bjorn. His knowledge of poisons might help figure out how the killer is getting their victims to isolated places before killing them.
I don't think that aspect is too important. Likely, the heartbreaker serial killer is able to trick his victims into coming with him with promises of food, shelter, water, or whatever. When the heartbreaker has total control over the situation, he kills his victims.
That wouldn't explain why no one has ever heard anything when they die. I've checked the records. The last time the Heartbreaker was in Hollow, there was a murder in Scale's headquarters, right next door to a meeting with the head of every division in attendance. That's not just luck.
The victim was Evie Brown.
And?
I don't think I'll need Bjorn. I'd rather have Lex. She's more skilled in a fight and could help me determine how that waylayer took a shot at us from such a long distance, because it shouldn't have been possible.
I need Alexis. There's an entire army outside Hollow's walls, and I don't want to travel with two close-range combat specialties. If Haru and I run into a gunner, archer, crossbowman, or weaver, we would have to solely rely on his lightning fabrications. That's too risky.
Since when did you become a coward?
Imani stood and put her hands on the table.
Since learning what goes bump in the night from you. I don't underestimate anyone anymore.
And that was it. The man had more secrets than a child with strict parents. How long would it take me to learn all of them?
Haru, Bjorn, new orders. Bjorn, you'll be helping Michael and Dark catch the Heartbreaker serial killer and a waylayer in Hollow. Haru, you'll be accompanying Alexis and me to reunite the rest of the Orbis Company. We'll leave at midnight to minimize the chances of the army outside the walls detecting us.
With a huff and the exaggerated movements of sulky toddlers, Haru and Bjorn stormed off upstairs. Alexis followed them after giving me a long stare. What are we going to do? How do we catch a serial killer who has evaded justice for so long and a waylayer trained to avoid capture?
We follow the clues we have. We know the killer is skilled at surgery. The cuts on the body were too precise to be amateur, so we'll need to check the hospitals for anyone new. Second, the bodies and blood had a sickly sweet smell associated with them. The only time I've seen that is in correlation with blackberry use. Tweaker dens should be searched as well. Lastly, we'll check out refugee gathering points, see if we can find out where the killer is finding his victims. The Church of the Wanderer is a start. Nothing like fear and hopelessness to send people to a godly power.
There's a lot of uncertainties in those clues, Dark.
Yes, but it's all we have. I'll take the hospitals on the west side and you can take the blackberry dens. We'll gather before the Pathfinder service and search the Church of the Wanderer together.
Why do I have to search the drug dens?
That's an excellent question.
Because I said so.
What about the waylayer?
Let's assume that he'll come for us. No point in tracking him down. We'll just have to be vigilant. Any other great questions, Michael, or can we get to work?
I stood up from my chair. Nope. I get it. There was nothing else to discuss, so I left the Lone Wolf Inn.